really looking forward to talking to my next guest all day, since I spoke to him earlier on. He's Roger Harrop. You okay, I've been telling me all about you as well. I called you because a friend of mine owns a business in Ireland. I can't obviously mention him on air. It's a true story. It isn't one of those made-up things. He's got a very, very successful sports goods business. That's all I can say about it, without giving the game away. And he's happy with me talking about this tonight. He wants to leave it to his son. His daughter's not interested. She's got her own career. She's studying law. His son is interested. And it was all arranged, Roger, that his son was going to take over this pretty big business with a big turnover and with many employees, lots of responsibilities. Roger, he's now starting to have serious doubts, and it's causing problems in the family, because he now is starting to believe that maybe his son, because his son is young, he likes a bit of the nightlife, likes coming out to Spain every now and then, to Puerto Banús and places like that. He's thinking, am I doing the right thing with regards to the business? And that's why I called you, because I knew you'd have come across this before.
Well, yeah, Richie, it's really not unusual. The whole business of family businesses, particularly, could I ask, did your friend start the business himself?
Yeah, he did, yeah, from the ground up, yeah.
I can think of three family businesses that I've come across where, you know, it's a heart and a head thing. You know, the head says, yep, I'm going to retire or I'm going to hand the business on, and that makes sense, and it all gets planned out and planned out. And then the date gets nearer when it's going to happen, the heart seems to kick in, and I guess there's a couple of things that seem to go on then. One of those is, well, you know, I built this business. I don't think anyone else can run it as well as I can. And secondly, is the person I've selected, whether it's a family member or not, but particularly if it's a family member, is he or she up to it? And suddenly the heart takes over. And what I've seen in a couple of cases, Richie, which is really scary, is that actually, subconsciously, he then started to destroy what he'd grown. And he started to destroy the business rather than hand it on to somebody else to delegate to the business. It's pretty scary stuff.
It is. And I remember a few years ago seeing probably somebody you've brushed up against before, Jerry Robinson, doing a program for the BBC called I'll Show Them Who's Boss. And we really saw how toxic it can be, Roger, for families.
That's right. And, you know, I work quite a lot with family businesses, and there's a number of stumbling blocks that you can fall over. And I have to say, if there's one piece of advice that I would give to absolutely any family business, above all others, is to have somebody outside who works with you. It may be an independent director, it may be someone who's just working as a business advisor. It's a role that I've played on a number of occasions. But to have someone who can be completely objective and quite unemotional and unsentimental makes a big, big difference, because there's lots of issues in families, even when, say, there aren't. Deep down, there are bound to be issues that come up, and have someone who can be the umpire, for want of a better term, I'd rather use the term facilitator, really can make all the difference all the way through all these different processes. If I may just share something else with you.
Please do, Roger,
Another family business I was involved with, but in fact, I joined them as a non-executive director. The father had built the business. He'd now died. There were two sons running the business. There was a son and a daughter not in the business, and there was the mother not in the business. And it was just starting at that point, you know, this is like 5 years ago now, where the two guys running the business were sort of saying to themselves, look, we're generating additional wealth here, and we're not getting the benefit. Everyone's getting the same benefit. Equally, the members of the family who were not in the business were starting to say, well, what's the point? We never get any dividends. What's the point? And again, if there's a second thing I would say is, please, please, please have something called a shareholder meeting, even though it's family. Have a meeting, ideally a couple of times a year, where the shareholders, everyone who has shareholders, meet and have a shareholders meeting. It's not a board meeting. It's not a management meeting. This is talking about the business. And the very first question you need to answer is, what's the purpose of the business? Real old-fashioned word. What's the business there for? Because people make all kinds of assumptions about what it's there for. They've inherited it, maybe, or whatever. What is it there for? Is it there to generate wealth for every member of the family? Is it there to generate wealth at all? I was with a family business earlier this week, in fact, where they'd totally lost sight of the need for the business to be profitable, would you believe? And if it isn't profitable, then it's just a drag on everybody.
Roger, it's amazing you're saying all of that, because to go back to the case I mentioned, I know the family quite well, and I know the son has worked in the business from the time he left school, and I know he's worked hard there. Uh-huh. But I think his dad thinks his dad is beginning to wonder, has he always felt that he was the heir apparent? You know, which is a worry for him. And then they're a little bit like chalk and cheese. The son's a very laid-back, easy-going lad who, one of those guys, Roger, that always seems to come out right in the wash, no matter what, you know. He gets things right. He's a good lad. But his dad is a diligent 5:30 a.m. every morning, keeps lists. You know the old school, Roger, always has lists in his pocket of things to do. Yeah. Very, very, very diligent man. Never missed a meeting in his life. Never late for anything in his life. And his son isn't like that. But not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily hurt the son's ability to be a good business person, I don't think.
What you've described there, Richie, for me, is a left brain person and a right brain person, you know? And there's no right or wrong. Not one or the other should lead a business. The trick is to know what your strengths are and to make sure alongside you you've got someone who fills in for your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And let me say, for example, a right brain person, they're the creative people, that may be what the son is. You know, one of the other things that happens in family businesses that I see is that you can inherit the business and that second generation says, oh, I mustn't drop the crown jewels, I mustn't lose the crown jewels. Yeah. And they put their arms around it and they never change anything and they never, ever take any risks. And, of course, the way any business grows and develops is to take a few risks, considered risks. What you find is that sometimes a second generation business is doing exactly what it's always done, even though no longer is that the way to make money. And what I would say is a creative person, a right-brain person, is actually perhaps more likely to be the person who says, well, let's give this a try. What about this? What about the other? So, you know, there may be big positives by him taking over the business.
There might well, Roger. And another thing I find as well, listening to people talking on the programme in the past, if he goes ahead and parts company with the business and makes his son the new managing director or CEO or whatever, often that's often where the problems begin then, because men and women often find it difficult because they built it up, he or she has built it up to what it is, to stay out of it then, which is another issue, isn't it?
Absolutely, without any doubt at all. And again, I can think of a family business I knew where, again, the head had said it was like a father and wife. They were retiring. The business was being taken over by a son, and they knew this was going to happen, so they said, we're going off on a cruise around the world, a 12-month cruise.
Wow.
And they did that, and they came back, and within 10 minutes, would you believe, they were telephoning customers and saying, how's it going?
No
and the customer
way.
Said, well, actually, you know, I won't say the name, but David, let's say, is doing really well. And they were saying, well, no, he isn't. We've heard that he isn't. And they were actually starting to screw the business
up. No way.
So you never know. And just coming back to what I said earlier, if your friend had got himself an advisor of some sort, let's just say it's a non-exec director, an independent director, someone who is involved in the business and coming in only maybe once every 2 or 3 months, that's the person who could have provided the continuity. That's the person who could now be saying to your friend, actually, I do think Richard is up to it.
Yeah,
I think he is up to it. And don't worry, I'm going to be around anyway.
Brilliant, Roger.
You know, that's what would perhaps have made the difference and reassured both sides. And equally, the son, let's be honest, he's, in the nicest possible way, himself, isn't he? You know,
yes,
no matter
absolutely.
What he said, what he's showing on the outside, he is very worried. And if he had someone there giving him some wise counsel who was not a member of the family, again, I think that would make a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, he's not at all disrespectful. He thinks he can take it on and honour what his dad and mum have built up and maybe take it to another level. He's very ambitious. And maybe that's something that worries his father as well, because his father might think, well, trying to take it to next levels might be a big problem. We're doing really well where we are and
have
all of these things. Yeah.
It may or it may not, and there's plenty of examples that we can think of out there of top entrepreneurs who took over a business from parent and have actually transformed it and made it massively successful. But yes, of course, they're taking some business risks. But as I said earlier, I think that's what you've got to do to move businesses forward anyway.
And we should mention for anybody who might be in that position, especially anybody who's listening in the United Kingdom, Roger's website is rogerharrop.com. Roger, I said I'd ask you today, here's something I didn't say I'd ask you, but it's not a loaded question. How do you think the Coalition have done, Roger?
The Coalition? Well, I'm not a political animal, you know.
No.
At the moment, I guess the jury's out, but let me answer it in a different way. I regularly travel the world, and over the last 2 years, I've been going to Pakistan every 3 or 4 months, I guess, and I run one-day masterclasses, business growth masterclasses, with chief executives, business leaders, small businesses and large. And these guys, every single time I've done it, Richie, they've been positive, they've been... Yeah. They're looking at ways they can develop their business, they've been sparky. And I come back to the UK, people saying to me, oh, it's really bad, we're making 10% redundant. And I just get really cross with people now, you know. I've got a list now, I put up when I do my workshops, I've got a list of 31 market sectors which have been growing over the last 2 years and continue to grow. And there's a basic rule of business, which is sell to people who've got money. So if your traditional customers haven't got money, go and sell to ones that have. And there's plenty of them out there. Just examples. John Lewis has been going like a train for the last 2 years.
Really well,
if that's
yeah,
your
that's
sort
nice.
Of market, sell to John Lewis, don't sell to their competitors because they're not doing so well. I don't care what government's in power. There are many, many opportunities out there now throughout the whole of Europe, in fact, worldwide, to grow and develop your business. But what you've got to be is proactive, and you've got to choose your customers carefully. And it's just back to basics, you know, Richie. And I really do believe that business is all about keeping it simple, because it really is.
You said that to me today, Roger, that the basics have never changed and never will change.
Nope,
the basic principles,
not.
Yeah.
There are four basics of business. I'm giving away all my secrets here. But anyone knows. There are four basics of business, Richie, which apply to absolutely any business. Number one is you've got to be exceptional at what you do. These days, if you're mediocre, you're dead, frankly. You've got to be exceptional at what you do.
Got to
if
work
you're
really
not,
hard. Yeah.
Don't even bother. Secondly, it's got to be a great place to work because people have a choice these days. People don't join you. And certainly if you talk about the new generation, the Y generation, they don't join you just for the money and the prospects. They want to check out all the other stuff about how you operate as a business, you know, whether you're a small business or a big one. And it's got to be a great place to work. You've got to prospect. And I talk a fair bit to the so-called professions, accountants and architects and lawyers. A lot of them don't seem to realize that they're a business like just like any others, and you've got to go out and find customers. They won't come and find you, and particularly these days. You've got to prospect, and you've got to spend, ideally, 20% of your time prospecting, talking to people who've never bought from you. You know, that's like a day a week.
Yeah.
And the final one is a focus on the bottom line. I mentioned that earlier. You know, I don't think profit is a dirty word. Again, I work with charities. And the biggest stumbling block with charities, because the vast majority of them, if they want to grow and provide a better service to their, let's call them clients, they've got to generate something called profit to reinvest, because none of them really get the money from collecting tins. They've got to generate something called profit. And that's the focus that every business actually has to have. It's not bad news, it's good news, because you can reinvest that profit into the growth of your business, your organisation. Those are the four things. If you focus on those, you can't get
You've got a chance. So if you're a young woman or a young man coming out of school now looking to set up a business or start a business, it's lovely to be listening to you, Roger, because... because you're putting the positive face of things out there. It's not all doom and gloom, and it's not destined to fail if you get the basics right and if you work hard.
No, absolutely. You know, and I've got a client who's a scallop fisherman. If you see that, read what the papers, look at the TV, listen to the radio, you'd think anyone who's got trawlers, it's disaster.
Yeah, you would too, yeah.
This guy is an absolute star. He's got 5 boats now, borrowed the money and continues to borrow the money to do it from banks who are lending him the money, so that's another myth out of the window.
Yeah.
And he is generating good money. He's got people who work for him who absolutely love him. He used to be a truck driver and one day said, I think there must be money in scallops.
Fantastic.
And what did he do? He went out and got trained up as a trawler skipper. How many of us would do that? And there's nothing that he asked people to do he couldn't do himself. And he's done that from nothing in the space of about 7 years.
It's such a great... I mean, these are the sort of uplifting things that people should be aware of, because I have friends back in the United Kingdom who are telling me that... one friend of mine has told me that his wife has been told that she's facing redundancy. They're in their late 40s.
Yep.
And he's told me as well now that he's getting word... This in the northwest of England. He's getting word that he might be made redundant. But they're very, very bright, very vibrant, very smart people, both of them. And there's no reason why they can't do something else.
And there's stuff out there. If you're prepared to do it, there's stuff out there. A friend of mine, his wife is into black jewellery. I don't know what it's called. There's a certain kind of stone, black jewellery. Same thing. He lost his job and he sort of played about and developed a website. Didn't cost him anything. They import this black jewellery from somewhere like Croatia. And I was speaking to him recently and he's making more money than he was when he was employed. And this is like 12 months later. Everything is moving towards the one-man company these days. Everything. It's getting easier and easier. Anything on the internet you can download, you can help with. You know, one of the things I talk about in my workshop is YouTube, you know. YouTube gets five billion hits a day.
So outrageous.
And I can quote you examples of businesses where they've just videoed themselves, stuck it up on YouTube. It's got to be creative. It's got to be something interesting. And suddenly they gain all these hits, and then your business takes off. Total marketing cost, zero.
Yeah.
That never applied a few years ago. There are loads and loads of opportunities out there that technology is developing for us all, no matter what our business is.
Roger, we're running out of time, unfortunately. It's been absolutely great talking to you, by the way. I mean, it's lovely to hear that really positive spin on the way things are going. And we'd like to catch up with you again in the future on these issues, if that's all right with you.
I'd love to.
We must get a good plug in again for the website if anybody wants to find out more about you and what you do. It's rogerharrop.com, H-A-R-R-O-P, Harrop, rogerharrop.com. Roger, thanks.
And if anyone wants to contact me, they're more than welcome. There's an email address on the website.
Fantastic. Roger, you're a gentleman for doing it. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks, Richie.
Not at all. Take care. Bye-bye. Wasn't he very nice?